السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, again we heard of the passing away of some of our brothers and sisters in an accident. And this is something that we are hearing of almost every day. Some of them, because we know them, so we get to know. Some of them are family members, or our friends, or our musallis, or our business clients and acquaintances. So we come to know of the deaths of such people. But there are so many that we don't even come to know. In all parts of the world this is happening, but we don't come to know of everyone. In fact, sometimes it's just in another town that may be very close by, or just another street, and we don't come to know. So those who are leaving and their death comes in the form of an accident, then I discuss this in some majlis, that it is a form of shahadat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, due to some good deeds of theirs, wants to bless them with a form of shahadat. So he gives them death in an accident, or by drowning, or some wall collapsing and people be getting crushed. So if the person dies with iman in this state, then it is a form of shahadat. And for them it is khair, it is goodness, there is rahmat and there is barakat in it. But the people that they leave behind, indeed there is grief, there is sorrow, that is natural. But the most important thing is that they leave behind a lesson for us. Their janazas leave a lesson for us, that a person is planning, he is preparing for so many things. And it is not haram, it is not forbidden. I have mentioned many times that it is not haram even to prepare or plan for something 50 years ahead. If a person is planning for something 50 years ahead, it's not haram. But to trust that he is going to see the fruits of his planning, or he is going to really live the 50 years, that is definitely not correct. We just don't know. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave his wives provision for the whole year. We talk about tawakkul. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam gave his wives provision for the whole year. After that, because he had been the husband, whose tawakkul could have been better than the wives of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst the women of Islam? So they didn't retain anything. They spent, and they too made tawakkul like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, knowing the weakness of the ummah that will come, so he gave provision for the whole year to show the ummah that that is not against tawakkul. Otherwise Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam could have told them, why must I give you provision for the whole year? You don't know whether you're going to live the next second. Look at the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And look at the beauty of the teachings of Islam and Sharia, that it takes into consideration the weakest ones in the ummah also. It's not only that you look at those who are of a very high degree of tawakkul, high level of tawakkul. Even those weak ones like us have been taken into consideration. And it is not haram, in fact it is recommended that the person should leave behind something for his children, so that they do not extend their hands and beg after the death of the father. That means by halal means if it is possible to leave behind something for them in the form of a property or some estate, then it is recommended. It's not haram, it's recommended. If the niyat is this, that they don't have to go and stretch their hands and beg of people. So what better sharia do you want? Everything has been taken into consideration. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave them provisions, but then their tawakkul was of that level. They knew that Allah Ta'ala will provide. But we are weak, so therefore we must save. There is nothing wrong with that. But we must not trust in our plans. At present, I am talking about myself. How many times when I leave home too, I don't really have that conscious awareness. Most of us, we leave home, we go, but we just somehow have the yaqeen in our hearts that I am going to come back. Now all of us came from home to the masjid. How many of us really thought for a little while that I don't know whether this departure from my home to the masjid is the final departure from my home to the masjid, and after that it's going to be departure to the graveyard? None of us think like that, or very few. So this is the lesson that they leave behind for us, and I've been repeatedly mentioning in many places, in many bayans, one incident, and that is sufficient for our Islam. It is sufficient for our reformation. It is sufficient for our change, and it is sufficient for us to get connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that incident which I repeated, and I have no hesitation in repeating many, many times, because alhamdulillah many people have cleaned their homes out after that incident had been mentioned in the talks, of a family that had been wiped out completely in an accident. And outwardly that person was a deendar person frequenting the masjid. But because the family got wiped out in the accident, the husband, the wife and the children, so the family members were to open the door and get into the house and open the cupboards for the distribution of the estate. Then they found porn films, movies, filthy literature, porn magazines. Now how embarrassing that must have been. So all of us who think that our time is not going to come, then we are living in a fool's world. Especially in these days, when nothing else we hear of but accidents, hijackings, murders, killings. So those people who die, they are fortunate they live in a state of shahadat. But for us, how much of cleanup did we do after that? How much of cleanup did we do of our homes after listening to these incidents? Death does not inform a person that I'm going to come. I mentioned on Sunday morning here that whenever I'm at an airport and friends ask for nasihat, then I tell them you don't require very much nasihat at an airport, because you see two boards, arrival, departure. You see passengers arriving, you see passengers leaving. So there is an arrival board and a departure board. So what more nasihat does a person require but to look at those two boards and think of our arrival and departure. We have arrived, but as far as the departure is concerned, no one knows exactly when is he going to depart. That board at least tells you that the plane will depart at a certain time. And it could be even delayed sometimes. But this departure of ours, we do not know when. Because it's an Islahi majlis, whatever Allah Ta'ala puts into my mind for the purpose of my own Islah and those that are listening, many things are repeated. Just as in the Quran Sharif, many things are repeated. So, Zindagi ka ajeeb hai visa, kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. اور اس میں توسیع بھی ہے غیر ممکن اور میعاد اس کی نہیں معلوم. What a strange kind of visa this is. The duration of time is unknown. You cannot extend it. You cannot go and bribe any home affairs department and say that extend these visas. Nothing like that. when it is going to be cancelled also unknown. So at this airport we see a board showing us arrival, showing us departure. So we should take a lesson that we do not know when our departure is going to be. And especially the person who is flying is going to be 30,000 feet above sea level or 40,000 or 60,000. It's not the pilot who is taking him across. It is not the plane that is taking him across. It's not that beautiful Rolls-Royce engine that is taking him across or keeping him suspended in the air. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat that with 400, 500 and even now they're talking about 1,000 passengers are going to fly. What keeps them there? What takes them across? It is only Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. Otherwise it's not within the pilot's means to prevent an accident if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes it to disappear from the screen. How many planes have disappeared from the screen? Submarines have settled deep down into the ground, into the ocean. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat. So the person who is at the airport, he must take a lesson from that. And especially when he is right up, at that time he must think, look at Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, where am I? Now if that person 30,000 feet above sea level also, he wants to watch that filthy film that is being shown there on the screen, then where is his ihsas, where is his conscience? He is testing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is out of his mercy that he is taking that person still across. If the person cannot think of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and death high above at that level, then where else is he going to think of death? So it is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat that is taking him across. So what I said at the airport, there is no need for nasihat. There is an arrival board and a departure board which is giving us a very important lesson. And it is sufficient for our reformation and change if we want to. But at the Jan Smuts airport, this time I saw a new board. And that board was underground parking. So there were a few brothers with me there. They said, Molana, some nasihat before you leave. I said, well, this is a new board that I have seen. So this gives us one more lesson now. That there is an arrival, there is a departure, and after that there is going to be underground parking. Hi, that underground parking is going to come. So even an additional board now to remind us that there is a time that is going to come when we will have to go underground. So we have to prepare for that parking also. And whether we like it or not, it says ikhraj ho jayega. The person will be taken out. So these deaths, they are reminders for us that it is time that we clean up our lives, we clean up our homes, we clean up our businesses, we clean up our dealings, we clean up our acts. For we do not know when this departure is going to come. At present, nobody can really be certain that he is going to return home. It's just happening all around. There's nothing else that we hear but bomb blasts, shooting, murder, accidents, smashes, crashes. This is the scenario of the times. So at such a time, our hearts we have to purify and consider the purification of the hearts as farz. That is our weakness, that we consider namaz as farz, roza as farz, zakat as farz and hajj as farz. But to purify these hearts from greed, malice, jealousy, pride, we don't consider it as farz, whereas it is just as farz as namaz, to clean the heart from all these type of impurities. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not come into such hearts. My Shaykh gives a beautiful example that if you have a visitor and you tell that visitor that I'm going to put you up in this room, and in that room you have a dead body there, You have a few dead rats there and a few dead cats there and some other dead animal carcasses there. You think that visitor will ever reside there? He is ever going to be feel welcome in that home? He will move away or disappear faster than he arrived. So if our visitors or if we ourselves will not like to sleep in a room where there are dead bodies lying, even if it is the husband, if the husband has died and that wife is tired, she was waiting for the body to arrive, 2 days and two nights have gone. For some reason there was a delay. But then too she will not sleep in that room where the husband's dead body is lying. She will never get sleep. And the husband asks him to sleep in that room after that. So if we cannot sleep in a room where there are dead animals, where there are cats and dogs and rats that are dead and they stench and filth, so the pure Zat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we think His tajalli is going to come into such hearts which are filled with the stench of jealousy, envy, malice, greed, pride, anger, evil passions, lust and desires, film actors and actresses, all the filthy pictures that we have seen in the newspapers and seen on the television screen. All that filth is residing in our hearts and we want Allah to come again into that heart. How can Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala come into such a heart? How can that person then ever find peace? When there's so much of dead bodies in the heart, how can that heart ever find peace? It will be restless. It just cannot find peace and satisfaction because the heart is filled with so much of stench. How much filth we are seeing with our eyes, listening with our ears, speaking with our tongues, touching with our hands, walking towards with our feet. And then we want the noor of Allah Ta'ala to be in our hearts. We want rahmat of Allah Ta'ala to be in our homes. We want barakat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to be in our businesses. So from where is it going to come? Darkness and light cannot be in the same place at the same time. Either it's light or either it's darkness. As Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, Nare shahwat che kushad noore khuda. What is it that will extinguish this fire of shahwat in us? Passions, evil passions and desires. It's only noore khuda. Just as Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, it was the noor that was in his heart that extinguished that fire of Namrud. He says, in the same way, if we are going to bring the noor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala into our hearts. And how will that noor come? It will come via a'mal-e saliha. Via a'mal-e saliha only that noor can come. And that noor will come when all that darkness is removed. Once the noor comes, there will be no darkness. So the darkness of these things have to be out, then automatically the noor will come in. So we should take a lesson from these things. Hi, again that beautiful, it is a vase on itself. It is a vase, it's a complete vase in itself, just that one couplet. Ye sarae dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi. Ye sarae dehr musafiro ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi. Jo muqeem isme the kal yahan kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi. Ye hai ek qabr pe bekasi, ye hai ek qabr pe bekasi, bas zuban haal hai keh rahi. Ye hai ek qabr pe bekasi, بس زبان حال ہے کہہ رہی. تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافلو مجھے احتیاج زبان ہی. ہاں تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافلو مجھے احتیاج بیان نہیں. This is a سرائے دہر. It is a timeshare apartment. Somebody is coming, somebody is going. Nobody is going to stay there for the whole year. It is like a musafir khana, where people come and go, and it's written there, only 3 days you can stay. Go to Bombay musafir khana, go anywhere, they have got conditions. You can stay for 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, and then you must go. And in our times we talk about timeshare, that a person has got for 1 month, 6 months, 2 months, but then he knows at the end of that period, if he's not going to come out, they will bring the police and take him out. But he will be taken out. He has to go. Whilst he is there, he must make use of the air conditioning, he must make use of the tables and chairs, he must make use of the beds, he must make use of the fridge and all the other facilities. But at the end of that period, he will have to leave. Then some people have first class, 5-star timeshare apartments, some have 3-star, some have 1-star. So in the same way, some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them plentiful in this world. There's nothing wrong with it if they've earned it in the halal way and they are spending it correctly. They are not spending on haram things. They are taking care of the needs of the poor and the needy and the masjids and madrasas from there. So they can make use of their cars and their homes and whatever they have got. We will call that a 5-star apartment. Then some people are poor. They don't have what those people have. So whatever 1-star rating apartment they have, they make use of that. But the first 5-star one has to leave too, and the 1-star one has to leave too. So he says, yeh ek qabr pe bekasi wa zuban hal hai keh rahi. Just go and look at a grave. That is why it is recommended to go and visit the graveyard. When we look at the grave, look at the silence of the grave. It doesn't have a tongue. It doesn't require a speech. The grave does not require a tongue to give a speech. Its silence is giving a speech. Zubaan haal hai keh rahi tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo mujhe ehtiyaj bayan nahi. Oh, you visitor to me, you require sight, basirat, not just eyes. I don't require giving you a speech. There's no need for me to give you a speech. I'm already giving you a lengthy speech. My lengthy silence is giving a lengthy speech. That one day I was someone in the world. I was walking, I was running, I was flying from this place to that place. I was transacting millions of rands of business. I was a great sportsman. I was a great cricketer, great soccerite. I was an official of this organization and that organization. I was a president of a country. I was a king of and ruler of a country. Everything I may have been. But see, what is the end? So if I did good deeds, then people will still talk about those good deeds, and they will remember the good deeds, and they will make dua, and they will think of the deceased. But if that person died harming everyone, troubling everyone, cursing everyone, torturing everyone, troubling, then the people will also look at that grave and say, good riddance of bad rubbish from this world. How many people remember the Firauns of this world? But look at the Ahlullah, that up till today in Ajmer, Hazrat Khaja Muhyiddin Ajmeri Rahmatullah Ali, he's a great wali and a great buzrug, and he was a great Sufi. Whether people may be doing wrong things at the gravesite, because so many people come there, they are Hindus, Muslims, everyone comes there. But one Englishman wrote, he says, I saw a strange thing in India after his travel, that a person has passed away, but he seems to be ruling over the hearts of the people. So what is it? It was their taqwa. It was their taqwa. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of taking lessons from all these things that are happening around. We must be wide-eyed. We must see, we must look with the eye of Ibrat. So as everybody reads boards like that, underground parking, thousands of passengers are going through there. So we must look at it and take a lesson. It's giving us a lesson. Everything is giving us a lesson. The immigration is giving us a lesson. Munkar and Nakir are going to come and question us. And if somebody has got contraband goods, then what happens? So when we are going through immigration, these are the thoughts that must come into our mind, that there will be one day when that immigration you can't bribe. Here nowadays you can even give one pen and say, right, okay, carry on. You've got a pocket of potatoes too, you can give it and say, all right, you can take your goods out. There you cannot do that. So it will be checked, what have you brought with you? You were only supposed to bring Iman, Islam, Taharat, Namaz, Roza, Zakat, Hajj, Zikr, Tilawat, Ibadat. All these other things that you brought with, pride and jealousy and malice and greed and theft and fraud and adultery and fornication, all these things are that contraband for which now there will be punishment in the prison of hell. So we have to take lessons from all things around us. That is a Muslim who takes lessons. And then believe me, brothers, I'm telling you repeatedly, believe me, that when we are going to get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are not going to feel deprived of the evil and the filth of this world. At present, everybody's fear is, what will you do? Without music, how will you survive? Without television, how will you live? Your life will become boring. Without these filthy magazines, how will you pass your time? So that is our fear, and shaitan puts that fear into our hearts. Because he has given us a taste of that filth, he does not want us to move away from there. Again, if we just get the taste of that juicy grape, then after that we will forget all this filth. It's like throwing away all the pebbles from the person's pockets and filling it up with diamonds. When Allah Ta'ala will fill up the diamonds of his muhabbat and his love and his ma'rifat and his yaqeen in our hearts, ah, what diamonds those will be. Then that person, he will never go back to all that filth. There will be temptation coming, but that person will be enjoying a kind of happiness and satisfaction in staying away from that filth. He will find enjoyment in that. But for everything, there has to be a little effort. In the beginning, we have to make that little effort to restrain ourselves. Now, people don't want to give up any kind of haram, and then they want to get there also. So you can't have it both ways. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in these days gives it so easily because of our weakness, because of the environment that we are living in. Allah ta'ala also knows my bandas and servants are weak. They can't make mujahida like the people of the past. So our mujahida, simple mujahida, control your gaze, control your hearing, your speech, control your thoughts, deal and transact in a halal way, fulfill the rights of your parents, children and neighbors, make your namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and you are waliullah. Simple and easy. And so many people are seeing dreams of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at present that we never had so many seeing in the past. Why? It is for encouragement. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives encouragement very, very quickly. But then of course it depends in what condition they see him. Some of them are given warnings. Some of them are given a glad tiding and a warning that you have the potential, but if you give up these haram things of your life, then after that you will be on track. And some of them are given glad tiding that mashallah, you are making tremendous progress and you are coming closer and closer to me. So it is easy, but there is an effort that is required, and we have to try and stay away as much as possible. And the accidental sins, then plenty of tawbah and istighfar. When we are going to do that, we will get into the same position or the stages of those who are muttaqi. Man lazim al istighfar, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli hammin faraja wa min kulli dayqin makhraja. And the same promise that Allah Ta'ala made on taqwa, Allah Ta'ala is making on those who are having istighfar. So that is accidental. But to be persistent, this is our weakness today, we are persistent. Cereals, we say we must have that cereal just as we have breakfast cereal. Breakfast we must have our cereal, and then in the evening we must watch those cereals on television. The soaps. Whereas they're calling it soap, meaning that you should take it, wash your hands off it. You should take that soap and wash your hands off that soap, with that soap. Soap is meant to wash off the dirt from our hands. So this type of soap, a person should stay away from. Then see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. कहते हैं अब सवाब है, कहते हैं अब सवाब है सूद में और कमार में। कैसा ये इनकलाब है, व्हाट अ रेवोल्यूशन हैज टेकन प्लेस, व्हाट अ चेंज हैज कम अबाउट, दैट इवन इन इंटरेस्ट इन गैम्बल इन ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ फिल्थ दे से दिस ग्रेट बेनिफिट एंड सवाब रिवॉर्ड, आई हैव एक्सप्लेन दैट इन डिटेल। दुनिया गले का हार है, दीन नजर में खार है। दुनिया गले का हार है, दीन नजर में खार है। यही अगर बहार है, आग लगे बहार में। दुनिया गले का हार है, दुनिया इज नाउ द नेकलेस अराउंड अवर नेक्स, एंड दीन इज लाइक अ थॉर्न। Because we frequent the masjids and you listen to majlises and waaz and nasihats and you are associated with people who are of deen, so therefore we do not really understand what is going on in so many other homes where there is no deen. It is so difficult for them to even practice on the essentials of deen in such homes. Parents are the main opposition. And after that, the whole family. And what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had predicted, that the time will come when the person who is practicing on deen will be like holding ash in his hand, burning ash. That time has come. Or he'll be like the kid of a goat, that somebody is slapping it from this side, somebody is slapping it from that side. Insignificant. So that is how the person practicing on deen becomes in his home, in so many homes where modern civilization has entered, and they have become dazzled by the glitter and glamour of the Western civilization. We just look at their tall buildings, we look at their inventions, we look at all their productions, and we think that this people, they have progressed tremendously. Whereas Sharia doesn't stop us. We should be producing those arms, and we should be producing those planes, and we should be producing those crops, and we should be inventing machines. Nothing wrong with all that. But to call that progress, when what has really happened is nothing but immorality has entered the homes. Otherwise, who is against progress? If a person made an aeroplane and you fly from one place to another with speed, nobody is against that kind of an invention. But when it comes to our internet, when it comes to our video machines, and comes to our radios and television sets and all these things, which could have been used for good purposes, but the amount of filth that is pouring through there into our homes, and no more into just our homes, in foreign countries or kufr countries, but even in Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif, then we can just imagine that what we are heading for. So deen has become like a thorn, whereas deen should have been like a rose for us. Deen should have been the rose, the fragrant rose. Deen should have been that and not the thorn. But at present we find everything of deen like a thorn. And the reason for that is that we are looking all the time at those who are not believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we find them so-called enjoying themselves, then shaitan whispers into our ears that look at them, they are enjoying themselves. How long are you going to stay tied to your deen and sharia? Like one wife, she says that my husband, when I confronted him about his illicit relationship with another woman, then he says, I need some space in life. Don't tie me up. Allow me the laxity. As if to say, Shariat is in her hands, that she can allow him. So this is what it is. Whereas what they are really enjoying, they only know. If they were really enjoying, they would not have been committing so much of suicide. The film actors and actresses, do we think that they are really happy from within? Go and ask each one of them and interview them. spend some time with them and see if they are really and truly happy from within. With everything that they have, but there's no happiness. And in search of happiness, they are taking more drugs, they are going for more illicit relationships, they are going for more haram, and it is bringing more restlessness into their lives. So we must make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Every time we are able to get away from some sin of our life, we must make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise it is dushmano ko aishab o gil diya, dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Dushmano ko aishab o gil diya, dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. Even on the shores they have got tufan, and we in the midst of the ocean, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us the sahil and the shore. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that every time that you come and attend my majlis, he says, make the niyat from home that you're going to give up one sin. He says, when you are coming to my majlis, just like this, he used to have majlis where people used to come from far and wide. He says, you are coming every day, every week, twice a week. So every time that you come, if you can't give up too much, then list your sins and make the niyat that I'm going to give up one sin after this majlis. The next majlis you come, I'm going to give up one other major sin of my life after this majlis. So in a year there's 52 weeks, so you'll be giving up 104 major sins. Just in 1 year's time, you say you'll be cleaned out. So even if you can't give up too much, he says, start giving up one sin. Look at the Ahlullah, in which way they try to put us online. They try to bring us on track. They explain in different ways the same thing. They go round and round, because there is something in their hearts that they want to put across. How many times I heard my Shaykh says, kaash ke mere bas ki baat hoti to main apna dil aur jigar nikal karke aapke dil ke andar dal deta. Says, if I only had that power. So there is something that they want to share, they want to give. They are enjoying some kind of ni'mat within. And they are not miserly. They want others to also share in that. But the eating of the food of the Shaykh is not good enough for the people who are murids. If the Shaykh has got taqwa, he's got zuhad, he's got qanaat, he's got tawakkul. But if the murid does not want to eat of those foods, so then he can be a murid all his life and nothing will happen. If I am hungry and you are hungry and I eat filling my stomach and I eat up to the throat, so will my filling of the belly fill your belly? Or will your eating fill my stomach? There's no connection like that. So the person has to make that effort. But Allah Ta'ala, because He is Rahim, He is Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept this system such that sohbat of the Salihin, it transfers. If a person has got aqidat, muhabbat and azmat and itaat, then those diamonds which are in the hearts of these Ahlullah, when we have that muhabbat for them and that azmat for them, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept His system such that it transfers. If the person stays in the company, the person goes with an open heart, the person goes with the niyat of making amal, then sooner or later he will inshallah get on track. And if not, then at least he will make tawbah and istighfar. How many brothers may not be on track completely, or they may not have given up all the sins, but alhamdulillah we can say that practically everyone that comes now has that realization, or that conscience worries that I must not commit sins. And when the person commits a sin, then it worries him and he makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar. In the majlises he's making tawbah all the time. How many majlises is it going to take for him not to become affected? One injection will definitely somewhere along the line take effect. So the barakat of that is that inshallah that person will not become a murtad, because at present there is an irtidad. People are giving up their deen, giving up Islam, giving up Iman, turning away from deen altogether. So this at least protects them and prevents them from getting to that situation. we couldn't proceed further than that. But whatever has been said, inshallah, it will be beneficial for me too, for you too. But we must take a lesson. There's no time now. Before, people used to have that kind of a hope, inshallah, another 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, I'm going to live. They used to see people around, old age people. But they say 60% of those who died last year were under the age of 30. 60% under the age of 30 died. So every second and every day we must regard as a bonus. Bansala. We don't know when our time is going to come. But it will not make us bored. It will not make us unhappy. Thinking of death and thinking of the akhirat is going to bring a kind of happiness within the heart. There will be a happiness that will come into the heart. There will be a satisfaction. And there are so many who are experiencing this. A person wrote that the Zikr Majlis on the day of my arrival from Karachi says that they didn't expect there was going to be a program, but in that Majlis, says for some time, it was as if that person was oblivious of who was around. There was nobody, as if there was nobody. And the whole masjid was covered in complete noor. And such sukoon and ecstasy and joy and pleasure the person found, he says that I never experienced such a feeling in my life. So these are the types of feelings that people are now experiencing who are making sincere tawbah from their sins. But of course that condition will not remain all the time, because if a person is going to remain in that condition all the time, he can't conduct his business, he can't go and talk cheerfully with his wife and children, he will just want to be sitting in the masjid all the time. So there will be a difference, as Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala know when he complained to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I have turned a munafiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala know made him, it's a long incident, but afterwards Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, what is it that makes you feel that you are a munafiq? He says, no, when we are sitting in your majlis, it seems as if we are looking at Jannat and Jahannam and everything with our eyes, and we are in a different frame and state of mind. I'm just giving you the explanation. But he said, when we come home and we talk to our wives and our children and we get to our businesses, then that feeling doesn't remain there again. He says, sa'atan fa sa'atan, sometimes this, sometimes that. Because if you're going to stay in that condition all the time, then you will not be able to even carry on with the normal activities of life. So outside the masjid, then what is required is just that screen blocking us from, or partitioning us from sins. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, that, oh Allah, let there be a barrier, and let the distance be like that between the east and the west, between me and sins. Yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him sinning, but it was for us. So once we do that, and of course then we are human beings, there will be some slip, some mistake, some error, then again raise your hands and cry and ask Allah for forgiveness and see what He gives. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Ay Allah, jo kuch kaha suna usko to qubool farma, hame amal ki tawfiq ata farma, hum sab ko sehat, afiyat, salamati naseeb farma. ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف اے اللہ ہمارے قلوب کو پاک اور صاف فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو نیک اور ایک بنا دے ہم سب کو نیک اور ایک بنا دے اے اللہ تیری ذات عالی کے ساتھ ایسا تعلق نصیب فرما کہ ایک لمحہ بھی نفس و شیطان تجھ سے جدا نہ کر سکے اے میرے پیارے خدا ہمارے قلوب کو نور سے منور فرما نور تقوی سے منور فرما اے اللہ جو انتقال کر گئے ان کی پوری پوری مغفرت فرما جنت الفردوس کے اندر اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما اے اللہ ان کے رشتہ دار ان کے اقارب سب کو تو صبر جمیل اور اجر عظیم عطا فرما اے اللہ جب ہمارا موت کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما اے اللہ ان تمام موتوں سے تو ہمیں عبرت لینے کی توفیق عطا فرما O Allah, give us the tawfiq to take lessons from everything that is happening around us. Ya Allah, give us the realization that one day we too have to proceed in the same direction. Ya Allah, before the angel of death visits us, let us change our life totally and reform and change ourselves and do everything that is pleasing to you and stay away from everything that is haram and forbidden. Oh, my beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco. Don't let the angel of death find us in a cinema or theater. Don't let the angel of death find us in an illicit relationship. Don't let the angel of death find us in zina, in adultery, in fornication, in theft. Don't let the angel of death find us glued to some haram and filthy program. اے اللہ ہمارا خاتمہ برکت والا فرما, موت ایمان والی نصیب فرما. اے اللہ نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جتنے خیر کا سوال کیا ہے وہ سب خیر ہمیں نصیب فرما, اور جتنے شرور اور فتن سے پناہ مانگی ہے اسے ہمیں پناہ نصیب فرما. اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ونعوذ بک من شر ما استعاذ منہ نبیک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله